The award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito invites you to Get This with Tony Martin and Lawrence Mooney.
That's right, comedian, actor. Would you describe yourself as TV hopeful like Jake Wall, Lawrence Mooney?
All-round entertainer.
Oh, well, there's some all-round entertainment coming your way today. Ed, well, a challenge. Have we got it ready?
Yeah, man. Ready to go.
The last one.
I've suffered.
There's only been four of them. This is the last one.
No, there's one on Monday.
Okay. And we'll be playing Shattered Dreams. We're not quite sure what that is exactly. And we'll be letting someone go toe-to-toe with Wilson Tuckey. It's all coming up on Get This, and a lot of people have requested that we hear the Prime Minister rapping again. So here we go. What's your rap name again?
1 Cent.
Of course. Hey, let's go out with some more rhymes. I'll get you going. He's Johnny from the Block. He's the MC with all the clout.
That is really what the economic debate is about.
He's going to kick some ass at the upcoming election.
The fundamental direction is a forward direction.
He's busting some moves. He's spewing invective.
Please let us have a sense of perspective.
He's the dopest of leaders. He's everyone's homie.
I think most of the concerns are phony.
Care to join me for a break dance, Mr. Heron?
No way, Jose.
It's the last Get This for the week. Good morning, everybody. That was Midnight Oil, Beds Are Burning. I'm Tony Martin. That man is Ed Cavalier.
Morning.
Not eating for the first time in 91 programs.
But I am looking through the Ecker program with all the delicious show bags.
Oh, so you're looking at food.
Yeah.
And let's have a fake round of applause for Lawrence Mooney.
Yeah.
Welcome aboard, Lawrence.
It's very nice to be here, Tony.
Hey, you've done a bit of radio. I just want to point something out. I don't talk about a film that we made a few years ago called Bad Eggs. It was made about 4 years ago. It divides audiences. I don't mention on the show.
Okay. When I saw it, my comment was, it looks like a real film.
Yeah.
Rather than some Australian films.
Some people like it.
Like real films.
But it's the one thing I've done that people just openly throw things at me in the street about. Yeah. So really? It's not for everybody.
Fair
but
enough.
The reason I bring it up is you and Peter Rosethorne were both cast in that movie as radio announcers.
Wacker and Mozza.
Host of the early Arvo Nuthouse.
Yeah. It's the Nuthouse! That's right.
Since that movie came out, both of you have become radio announcers for real.
I've got to say, Bad Eggs was prophetic. People say, I saw you on Bad Eggs. People are still borrowing the DVD. I get approached.
Right.
And they talk about the opening. And then I was snapped up by another commercial radio station in this city and had an illustrious 2 years in breakfast.
And then the same thing happened to Peter Rosethorne. He did a Friday afternoon show shortly after that. Mm-hmm. And Bob Franklin worked for the CIB for about 2 years after that film came out. It's just full of good ideas, apparently.
Bob Franklin once came into our breakfast show with Mick Malloy promoting a film.
Yeah.
Might have been Bad Eggs.
Yeah.
And,
did he say anything at all?
Bob goes, what a concept. Breakfast radio. Unbelievable. And that's all he said.
That's all he said. We got him in here.
Did well.
And his opening line was, you're lucky to get me. So I despise commercial radio.
he started with, like most people, I despise commercial radio.
And then we played a game called Let's Startle Bob Franklin for an hour. And that went down really well.
Brilliant.
Now we can't get him on the phone. Where is he?
He does recluse beautifully.
Right.
He might return a phone call 3 months later and pick up on the message that you left. To say, in answer to your question, this is what I've been up to.
Can't come to the movies. Yeah. That was 3 months ago.
House is burning down. I'll get back to you. Who knows? Or he was containing. What did we couldn't. A caller dropped out.
That's right.
And it's typical of the contempt Triple M has for its listeners. Why are we talking about him?
Let's talk about you,
Lawrence. What have you been up to?
Well, I've been working on postcards on the Nine Network.
Oh, yeah.
5:30 Saturday afternoon. Still the one, Channel 9.
Oh, still one.
Got to say that because Ed does listen. Not Phillips.
You'll be boned.
McGuire.
Don't want to get boned. Don't want to be on fall on Eddie's boning night.
Yeah, you don't want a shit sandwich.
That's the last thing
you want.
You'll end up in the boning yard.
If I would eat a shit sandwich, depending on what they were offering.
Really?
Me. Yeah.
What would it take?
A promotion, prime time, my own show.
Yeah,
I'd chow down on a big shit sandwich.
For the Lawrence Mooney show, Lawrence and Jake Wall, prime time hour.
Jake Wall is my barrel girl.
I love how you're pretending you know who he is, whereas 30 seconds before we went to Reese, who's Jake Wall? What are you guys talking about?
And you've got to watch the shows. You've got to watch Dancing on Ice. But hasn't Dancing on Ice been amazing in terms of
we've never seen
attrition?
Oh, yes.
The injuries.
Fatalities.
Someone is going to die on the
Ice.
You can SMS for who you reckon it's going to be.
Second series should be called Blood on the Ice. And they don't do any practice. Just get out there and got to pull these moves.
Now we're getting something.
Blood on the Ice.
And all of, and the audience has BB guns. Yeah. And they can just like take pot shots at whoever they dislike.
Because, I mean, you know, Channel 9 started this. I mean, they're running the shots with the injuries.
They are.
Well, yeah, that's right.
It's like Fight Club.
And I think everybody that's under contract at Nine is a little bit scared because, like, when you're asked to do something, i.e. have a shit sandwich, you've got to. And so next series of Dancing on Ice, everyone's like, oh, I can't. Yes, come on, are onto
you,
the ice.
Are you, you might be in the running then.
I hope so. I want onto the ice. I want one of those suits that's cut down to the navel with your hairy chest. Doesn't Carl look fantastic?
It's just not enough opportunities on Getaway to lose all your fingers. So what are you doing on Getaway? Do you mention your
work? Postcards.
Sorry, postcards.
Postcards.
Getaway.
Getaway is like prime time. I'm not really interested in it. Yeah, we're talking 5:30 Saturday afternoon. What am I doing? I'm in an upcoming episode. In the parent special, I'm fathered with Pete Smith.
Why is that?
Well, I don't have a father.
Oh, okay.
He lives in heaven now.
Right.
And so they wanted to do Girls with Girls and Boys with Boys. There's Bridget McIntyre, Caroline Rando, Glenn Moriarty and myself. And they put me together with Pete Smith.
Right, because obviously Pete is...
He's been like a father to me since I've been at Channel 9. And we had a great time going down to Waratah Bay. And Pete was just like breaking into song at every turn. He's a vaudevillian.
He is.
And you have always been a big fan.
We've been working with him since 1990 and he's never stopped the vaudeville material once during that time.
Shall we, criticising it.
No, let's have a... Ricky,
this is me and Pete on the road.
Have we got it there?
No, sorry.
We'll come back to that.
I actually left that up to you to organise it.
Yeah, let me tell you
this story.
Should be under Pete Smith.
Is this a segment now, is it?
We filmed the last part of the parents' special out at Yering Station Winery in the Yarra Valley, and Pete Smith brought his dad along. Liz is 91, and I tell you what, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And he's really sprightly, lovely guy, and very mentally acute. And I said to him, Les, how old are you? And he goes, I'm 91. I would be 92, but my father was a bit shy.
Here we go. We've got the clip.
Let's go.
16 Ks to Waratah Bay. 16 Ks to Waratah Bay. We're going there and we'll get there today. 16 Ks to Waratah Bay. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've got a million of them, Pete.
Oh, thanks for that forced laughter. All it deserves.
That's just a day at the office for Pete Smith.
Absolutely just. He's riffing. He is. Mm. He's like 55-plus hip-hop.
I've heard him pull it out of the air. I've seen him do some of Jim Morrison's blue poetry.
Really?
Yeah. He'll do it if prompted.
Really?
Yeah, they often request it in the warm-ups at Family Feud. We'll call out, do us a bit of Jimbo. Get the leather pants on, Pete. Put it away.
He's still working very hard, and audiences love him. That special goes to air 26th of the 8th. On the Nine Network. So if you want to catch Pete Smith and all his glory with me. And he really kind of like fostered me. Yeah. He really took me under his wing.
No, he's done that to a lot of us. He's full of ideas.
But you kind of like, you made him cult.
Well, we did. What happened there was we were working on the, what's always called the ill-fated pilots for the Late Show at Channel 9. And we wanted some fake breakdown announcements, you know, in case, because the show was going to be live.
Yeah.
We thought we'll have fake breakdown announcements. Send them upstairs to whoever actually does them for real. We didn't know who it was. Pete Smith came back down, hilarious, because he didn't try and make them funny.
He just
knew that the Leslie Nielsen thing of to do it straight. Don't try and add the gags. Don't go vaudeville.
Yep.
And that's something you can't teach people.
No.
So we've just, since then, he's been unable to shake us off.
And, you know, previously he was the copper art guy, and then you made him Pete Smith.
Oh,
or brought him back to prominence.
The copper art thing would have gone on to stadium gigs, I reckon, if we hadn't distracted him.
The boy from copper art.
Copper art road.
That was been. Pete said it was 8 years, and he kind of lamented. He goes, and then the people that owned the business, they changed the name, and, well, it just wasn't the same.
That's true. Not as much class.
All right, Lawrence, do you want to stick around and talk some rubbish with us?
I'd love to.
You've read that Warnie book we've been pretending to have read.
I've read Spun Out, and I've got to say, what a stitch-up by Paul Barry.
All right, let's get to that next. Oh, that'd be Gwen Stefani. What are you waiting for here at Get This on Triple M around the nation? Lawrence Mooney is co-hosting this morning. Do you get into the podcasting, Lawrence?
I have always intended to because I've got a computer and I've got an iPod, but I've never podcast. And what I want to ask you is the Kim Beazley cheese bit, is that a podcast available?
That's on one of the podcasts, but we also have on our website, there's a little section called Recent Offences.
Yep.
And then all the stuff is under prior offences, and you can just listen to them. But that is in there.
It is definitely in there.
So for a bit of a, you know, a savant, if you will, with the computer, is it easy to do a podcast? Just to drag it down onto your iTunes?
It's so easy. I mean, I can do it, so it's real easy.
Okay.
iTunes, I don't even quite know what it is. It's like a picture menu for children. I just point and click. Point and click.
You recognise the picture before you recognise the word. Pig!
Cow!
Shiny object.
Yeah.
But, you know, what's happening, Lawrence, is that people are turning off TV and spending time listening to podcasts of radio programs. Yeah. So, in effect...
Turning on its head.
Well done, Matt Dower. Nicely done. He's been up all night doing that. Finally, it's taken... 25 years for radio to turn it round and make a mockery of that song that's been stirring us for so long.
Now, was that 24 years ago, 1982?
It was 1992. It was the Buggles. That was like 1980.
It was the Buggles. 82.
It was the Buggles. Yeah. 82. Get it right.
You were my first one.
1992, that was...
No, 82.
Oh, 82.
Yeah, 22 years.
Yeah, 82, that would have been Eye of the Tiger, Survivor. I think that was the big song that year.
I think that was 83. And 82 was turning Japanese, or was that 81?
That was saying 79. I think 82 was Gloria by Laura Branigan.
Oh, yeah. I was never a Laura Branigan fan.
It looks like he's eaten about four lemons.
Ouch.
Hey, you mentioned Kim Beazley. Did you see his stoush out the front with Iron Bar?
I did. But
why is he called Iron Bar?
Massive penis.
Yeah.
Apparently.
I think it's something to do with where he comes from in the West. He probably comes from the town of Iron Bar. That's what they call it over there. Pig Root, and Iron Bar. Well, they're about 20 k's from one another.
Oh, right. Okay.
I think he did actually hit someone with an Iron Bar at one
point. He assaulted someone, allegedly.
But the skills
have
slightly
imagination.
Deteriorated. Have a listen to the stoush.
Take your tablets, mate.
Don't you insult me with tablets. Now, I'm interviewing you. I am asking you why your entire party is going to kill off legislation that the Australian people
want. I'm asking you, Wilson, why you would support a weak sop legislation.
Well, I don't believe it's that. Why don't you move some amendments to make it tougher?
We're defeating it.
It's a weak, worthless
piece of legislation.
Okay,
Wilson.
Well, that's a nice
little
bit of rhetoric.
Why don't you take your weak, worthless self in there with the
don't
weak,
you
worthless
call me weak and worthless, you fat so-and-so.
You fat so-and-so. And you hear there was a... He wanted to say the S word.
In European parliaments, occasionally, we see on the news, and we'll leave you with a break in the Luxembourg parliament or in, you know, the Korean parliament, where they fly at one another.
Great.
Get it on. It's fight night in the parliament. Bees has got the weight to just do a big double suplex or come off the turnbuckle and take him out. Why wasn't the forearm?
Yeah, we've got to see the Taiwanese parliament.
That's the best.
That's like it's a knockout.
Yeah.
You'll often see people in big, you know, dresses of bottled tomato sauce.
In parliament, how this parliamentary privilege, you can say anything about anyone.
Yeah.
You can slag them off.
Yes.
Except parliamentarians, because then you get kicked out. Can you actually commit crimes in the parliament and you're protected by privilege?
Oh, like murder?
Like, example. Yeah, like just, he gets up and just, you know, I'm pop a cap in your ass.
That'd be all right.
You could,
or assault, maybe not murder.
No, you could use a Simple Minds song in your podcast if it was done within the confines of parliament. Sorry, can you guess what's on our mind on this show?
Podcasting.
Hey, but there are some words, though. It's funny you mentioned, I haven't got the paper here, but two words have been cleared. Pork chop. And for use in Parliament. And you won't be insulting someone if you
pork
call
chop
or Drongo.
Drongo.
Are now approved.
Why would I call someone a pork chop?
I don't know.
Because you're carrying on like a pork chop.
Ah, is that
the
what
member
is?
For Wirrawa is carrying on like a pork chop? Will he resume his seat?
I'll say fair enough.
They have some piss weak words. Yeah, they're not... sop. He was calling him a
sop.
And actually, Kim, you've got it wrong. Weak sop legislation, we're talking about putting people on an island in the blazing sun.
Yes.
And for an interminable period. Weak, no.
Well,
radical, dangerous,
did you see that? Yeah, well, maybe fascist, possibly. But, you know, here's what Barnaby Joyce had to say.
If it was the time of Herod and Jesus, Mary and Joseph turned up in Australia, what would we do?
Now, the time of Herod and Jesus, Mary and Joseph turned up in Australia? Well, that'd be quite odd.
Very interesting.
Now, that's the second biblical reference from Parliament. First of all, we got the Herod, Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
Yeah.
And Kim said to Iron Bartucky, take your tablets. Now, and don't insult me with tablets. Bit of Moses going on there.
Don't insult me with tablets. I want that.
Bit of Old Testament stuff.
I've gone out and carved these tablets. Yes. Insults for you. So,
you know, so hang on. Well, if it was the time of Herod,
yeah,
Jesus, Mary and Joseph would be fleeing to Australia. That's what they've decided is the
Well, they got a house and land package in the outskirts of Brisbane, which is very nice. They've got a McMansion happening.
Would the presence of Jesus mean they would just be able to walk? Would that be?
Yeah, maybe.
Would they need a boat, really?
Maybe not.
The baby Jesus. Mm. It reminds me of Christmas. That's all I've got to add.
You've done a bit of commercial radio, have you?
Yeah. And that was my killer out, and you guys there have not planned a song?
A killer out? We didn't even get to that stuff about Warnie.
Well, should we talk about Warnie?
How long are we going? Oh, we can mention Warnie. Have you actually read that book?
I've read Spun Out. I haven't read it cover to cover, but I have read larger excerpts than have appeared in the weekend magazines or been discussed on the radio thus far.
Well, the story is that the only new bombshell in the entire 400 so pages is he didn't want a thermometer up the back passage of the Institute of Sport.
He gives three reasons for leaving the Institute of Sport. He said, first of all, I tried to make me swim without goggles. And
fair enough.
No, I'm not getting in the pool without goggles on. Then they wanted me to stick a thermometer up my bum to check heat loss. And then they fined me for farting on the team bus. Now, fair enough, I'm walking. If there's a punitive measure involved in farting, see you later.
Don't try and change me.
And he won't be changed. Paul Barry talks about his diet in a really sneeringly English way, like, ooh, look at this dirty little colonial and what he eats.
All right.
But basically, you look at his diet and he's a man that knew what he wanted. Right. There's a story about him going through a McDonald's drive-thru on a first date. He gets a hamburger and some fries. On a first date. Yeah, but he's not driving. His mates are driving him. He's on a first date and he's being driven around, Warnie, because he's a legend.
Who is the lucky lady?
The lucky lady wasn't named, but she was agape at what he did.
I don't like to go to the second window on a first date.
Yeah, no.
He gets the burger. He gets the meat patty. Throws it out the window. Pours the fries onto the two buns, smothers it in tomato sauce, and just looks up and goes, chip sandwich.
And they say there are no bombshells in this book.
I tell you what, one of the great things to read about Warnie, and maybe how his mind does work, and I'll tell you what, Paul Barry has made me even more of a fan of Warnie. So I'll spring to his defence now, because I think he's a man that knows what he wants. This chapter starts with, it's called Bye Bye Simone,
right.
And underneath it, the subtitle is some worn wisdom. I might need to grow up, but maybe I don't. Life's not a rehearsal. Life's for fun.
That's true.
It's true.
That's true.
And then they talk about him trying to save his marriage. He thinks that the best way to save his marriage is to get his wife involved in a threesome. And that's the logic. And he tries to pull it off.
Well,
to no avail.
I'll just do my annual Warnie joke. Because he likes to have someone coming in from the opposing end. Thank you. Sorry. I'm sorry. Once a year it gets rolled out. Do you think he's worried about me overusing that joke?
There's only one thing that really worries me, and that's hair loss.
True. Lawrence, we want to hear more bombshells from that book.
Okay.
Obviously it's a serious day, we should point out, because there's terrorism in the skies. People are worried about travelling to the UK.
Yep.
Authorities are not saying that Australians should avoid the UK, although they do warn that the food is pretty bad. Now that the gravitas has returned to the program, we'll be back in a moment.
Get this.
Well, I don't think that all occasion reflected well on either of them.
For the award-winning Mercedes-Benz Vito on Triple M.
It's Triple M, it's Get This, where during the ads, guest Lawrence Mooney likes to entertain us by miming obscene sexual acts as performed by obscure radio announcers.
Not obscure, very well-known radio announcers.
It's time for some music, I think,
to cleanse
our systems. What have you prepared for us, Ed Cavalier?
Well, it's guitar, but not as we know it. It's got a box on it, an echo box, if you will.
Right.
A one, a two, a one, two, three, four. See? It's like I'm playing in space.
Yeah, I love how you're fading in too. That's pretty impressive.
I'm running from the back of the studio up to the microphone.
Get your air guitar out.
Oh, yeah! Oh, thank you very much, Men at Work here at Get This on Triple M. Lawrence Mooney is with us this morning.
That's got some great air guitar at the beginning and some great air drums right at the end.
Good roll out.
Nice roll.
Just at the end there, what were you saying? There was I know the company had some big flash do last night and I couldn't go because I have to stay home and take the 7:30 report, talking to my tape recorder and hope John Howard swears.
Nothing. I went in our place.
But what were you saying? Josh Lawson?
Yeah, Josh Lawson is going to be... Because you won't go to this stuff. I know, because you've got work to do, right? But
yes.
So it's my job to go to things. So Josh is going to be playing the part of Tony Martin at these things.
And what's...
That we go to.
Is he losing a lot of weight?
Yeah, he is.
Becoming a lot nerdy.
He's getting round glasses and he just sort of talks about obscure comedians no one really knows about.
There you go.
Josh. Who's Josh?
Josh Lawson. He's on Rival Network to you. He's on the 10 Network on Thank God You're Here from time to time.
Yeah.
Right. He was in the final Blue Heeler, so he brought the whole thing to a screaming halt. Slept with Sam Tolbs, that was it.
That was enough.
I'm very upset when Blue Heeler's got pulled off the air because I was the only actor to never, ever play a part in that
Is
show.
That right?
Auditioned four times.
What were the roles you went for?
Went for pedophile.
Rob Carlton would have got that, yeah.
Went for schizophrenic artist.
Bam, bam. Yeah. Peter Rosethorne, I think, did that.
Did he?
Went for new sergeant in town, killed by drunk driver.
Ugly Dave Gray.
Boom, boom.
Did a great job.
Went for young lawyer, shoots someone deliberately in the eye at a paintball skirmish.
Shane Porteous, I think. He's too old for the role, but he gave it a red hot go.
Easy look.
Now, I tell you what, as each audition went on, I prepared more and more. I'm not going to tell you which role I ended up, preparing most for out of those four.
Okay, just as well.
But hey, talking about auditioning, it's a story we've had for a while. In Brazil, our friends down in Brazil, not Brisbane, but Brazil, a gun-toting Brazilian actor clad only in swimming trunks stormed a television studio and took a hostage during the filming of Snakes and Lizards, a soap opera where he was once an extra. Now, he fired two shots from an air pistol at an employee, and he said he was just trying to bring the studio execs attention to his art.
Right, and why just in swimming trunks?
Because it's Brazil.
It's Brazil. It was a Brazilian remake of Tootsie.
Very nice. Hey, the implication seems to be that I'm working in an evening while Ed Cavalier's out...
Cavorting
and gallivanting about.
You know it.
But, no, he does have a fantastic set. We've got this great segment going on where Ed does all the things he wouldn't normally do.
Absolutely.
And I've got the theme song.
Yeah, the only problem I'm having with this, Lawrence, is it suggests that myself and TV hopeful former carpenter turned celebrity handbag Jake Wall and I are somehow friends or,
You are sounding a little bit... When you said Lawrence then, you aspirated the... You're sounding a little bit gayer than you did before.
Thank you. Finally, I'm starting to get through to you, Lawrence. What's it going to take?
I don't know where this is going.
Don't worry, Ed. I've cleaned up the lyrics.
Good.
I've lost all the Jake Wall stuff.
Thank you.
Jake Wall, it should have been somebody else. Believe it or not, I'm watching Dancing on Ice. I never thought I could feel so free. Showing up at his house disguised as Jennifer Hawkins. Who could it be? Believe it or not, it's Ed Cavalier. Tony, listen to me. That could have been anyone showing up at Jake's house in a Miss Universe sash and a swimsuit and a wig. Could have been anyone.
What have you done today, Ed?
Well, yesterday I had listened to the whole of Nickelback's, latest atrocity. And then you said, Tony, I might watch a film. And you said, you've got to watch something slightly new. Yeah. And I said, okay. So I went to the video shop. And I looked around
have got a video.
Yeah, I do.
I thought the young people had moved on from the video.
No, this was the only new release that had a video. Right. This was the only one. I could have watched a DVD because I've got a DVD player. I started looking around saying, no, I don't really want to watch that. Oh, no. And out of the corner of my eye, I spy the very how do you say, very perky-looking face of Hillary Duff. And I thought,
Foxy. Foxy lady.
All right.
With enormous chiglet teeth.
So I went over there and I picked it up and it's $2.50 overnight. And I thought, right, we're on to something. And there's a very particular look that a video store employee gives a 20-something-year-old man who's hiring Hillary Duff videos in the middle of the day. It's a very interesting look.
What they would have called in our day the electric blue look.
Yeah.
You're not just going, you're going to be watching this with no clothes on, aren't you?
The film is called The Perfect Man. It's the story of Hilary Duff and her mother, played by Heather Locklear. That's more like it. And Chris Noff from Sex and the City. And Carson Kresley, everyone's favourite queer straight-eyed guy.
Doesn't that seem like a long time ago now? That seems like back in the era of the Tamagotchi and the Macarena.
Yeah, they've still got it on some kind of cable channel at the gym. They should have the treadmill pointing the other direction so you're running away from it.
Well, that's the lineup. Anyway, so the story is that, Heather Locklear is always falling in love with the wrong man, so Hilary Duff invents this man who ends up being Chris Noth. They get together and everyone spews in a bucket, right?
It's just not realistic because otherwise it would be David Spade.
That's exactly right.
Have you seen Heather Locklear now has a tattoo of David Spade, but not Spade, not David. Mm-mm. She's written Finch.
Yep.
Like his character.
His character name.
Imagine being in love with, I don't know, Bob Denver and writing Gilligan on your ankle. How odd is that?
Just imagine. Everyone for a second imagine that.
Let's not.
So here's a clip. This is when, Hillary's invented this man and has sent the letter, supposedly from the perfect man, to Heather Locklear, her mother. Here we go.
My dearest Jean, the letters J-E-A-N used to spell out just another word for denim. This guy is great, Mom.
Sure is.
But since I found you, I hear those four-letter words, and all I think about is another four-letter word. Being near you is like standing on a triple word score.
He plays Scrabble.
Everything matters three times as much. The sun shines three times as bright, and I am three times as happy. He gave you a present?
Right. Now that's the key. That baffled look, Tony. Turn it off, Richard. Now listen.
I want the Nickelback back. So bring back
What's happened is he's gone, all right, as Hilary Duff, as the character, has gone, okay, I'll write this letter. I'll get some Scrabble in there. You know, I won't understand that jean isn't another word for denim. It's something that's made out of denim. Yeah. And then I'll send him a present. She's telling us.
But isn't there something dirty in there too? Another four-letter word?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah, I think of another four-letter word. Just leave it. And then just left. Oh. Just left, right? And then she gives him sends a present, supposedly from the perfect man. And she sends a Hilary Duff CD. What grown
you
man? And then when she hears the CD, they all like dance around, and she falls for him.
That's a weird cross promo.
And it's the thing where so she's in it, and she's her character is in
it. But she doesn't know it's her singing. Yeah. She doesn't realise it's her own voice singing the atrocities.
I'm sorry to just gratuitously plug my book two shows in a row.
Yeah.
But I had the same thing in one of the stories in my book. I talk about I was on a bus. And they're playing the Kenny Rogers film.
Oh, yes.
Six Pack.
Yeah.
And Kenny Rogers just playing Average Bloke, driving along listening to Kenny Rogers on the stereo.
I'm not saying anything.
How are you going? What's going on? Is he going to meet the real Kenny Rogers? Is Kenny's character going to meet and there'll be some early 80s split screen? You know, big business, Bette Midler, Lily Tomlin style? That doesn't happen.
No.
And no one on the bus thought that was odd.
Everyone
turned against me.
Really? Were you standing up screaming, look at it, yeah. It can't work.
There was a lot of trouble on that bus. Lolly Scramble, still available.
Was it a Firefly or a McCafferty's?
I've no idea. I don't know about that. I'll tell you, it was a VHS video recorder.
So that's the perfect man. If you've got nothing in your life and you want it to get a little worse, get on board.
Wow. Great segment, Ed.
I'm watching White Collar Blue, breaking me out of the spell I was in, singing along to Spandau Ballet's True. Believe it or not, this is the last of these spots. I never thought I could feel so beat, flying away after only four segments. Cavalier.
That'd be Eskimo Joe here at Get This on Triple M. Lawrence Mooney is with us. Let's get straight up the mountain. Where today we're talking... Who's had a shattered dream?
Yeah, haven't we all?
Oh, look, my dream... I'll start off. I really had a dream of being in Yobbo's Up the Guts. Yobbo's Up the Guts is a great Australian film currently in production around the nation. No one seems to be able to track down the crew. They've gone AWOL. Bill Hunter's in charge.
No, that's dangerous. But the director had a fight with someone.
Warwick Kemper.
With Warwick.
Yeah, the Russian film.
And then he left.
And then he left, and Warwick's still on board, I think.
Warwick, do more with feeling, please.
More sizzle.
I can see your bolts and your shorts. That is you're doing.
You certainly can. If you open up the Woman's Day this week to page 23, and there is a picture of Warwick Kappa in the costume we've been talking about, his stripping outfit, $3,000. He will get down to the tight pink shorts. And is that a 40-something bloke trying to hold the gut in, or is it not?
It's the deliberate sucking, and it makes the man boob actually, it accentuates the man boob. The big sucking.
That is, so you go to redhotstrippers.biz on the internet and you can rent Warwick Kappa. He will perform in your garage.
If you sweep it.
That's what it says on the site. Will perform in garage.
And does he turn up with Chopper and Jacko?
Oh, Ian Roger Rogerson. I mean, Roger Rogerson. I'm thinking, hang on.
Yeah, not
that's
Ian
a bizarre piece of casting. Roger Rogerson saying, Beauty.
So, Yobbo. Yobbo's
Up the Guts.
What's the storyline? Pitch it to me in 15 seconds.
Warwick Kappa, Bill Hunter, and who's the other one? Oh, the other guy. Someone else.
Mark Jacko Jackson.
On the loose in the Aussie outback, going nuts.
Crazy.
There you go. You want to invest, buddy?
I bet there's a dingo stealing a baby joke in there somewhere.
Listen to this. Yep. According to Warwick Kappa, there's this scene where I'm chasing a girl in my pink lycra shorts.
Yeah.
This is a quote. Yep. With my big cucumber out front. Here's another quote, not to do with Yobbo's Up the Guts, from Warwick.
He was kicked out of Celebrity Big Brother for exposing himself.
Oh, really?
To a lady.
He took the cucumber out of the crisper.
So, yeah, he likes to open the crisper.
Well, listen to this. I'm in the public eye, like, and I have a lot of projects on the go. I'm sort of a groundbreaking person. I was the first person in Australia to have my own reality show on the Fat. Is that right? What was that?
I can't remember.
It's true.
Did he have a segment? And that was the first reality show on Australian TV?
I guess so. If he says it, it must be true. I mean, Warwick would check his facts. You know what I mean? Like, he would have gone back and watched every minute of television up to that point.
Yeah. But I tell you what, he could take an absolute specky. And so he's absolved of all previous and future sins.
Have we got off the subject? The subject is meant to be... a shattered dream, Lawrence Mooney.
When I was growing up, Tony Martin, I from the earliest age, my parents and my brothers can remember, was obsessed with cars. I wanted to be a motor mechanic, and when my parents and family were around watching the television, I would lie on the ground under their chairs pretending to work on them.
Really?
Yeah.
And would you invoice them at the end of that procedure?
Yeah, for a lot of parts they didn't need. And so it was all cars. And then I got to the age of 10 and my parents, English migrants, who wanted to obviously better us and have us, you know, aspire higher to something.
Yes.
Now I'm on radio. I should be in a garage. They sat me down at the age of 10 and said, you're not going to become a motor mechanic. We're not going to let you. And I just looked around. It's like, what am I going to do? And they said, you're going to be like a doctor or a lawyer or something. Right. Then you can have all the cars you want.
Ah.
I went, I see. But I go to motor mechanics now. I take my car probably more than I need to.
Because it's a sort of wistful experience. It's a what could have been moment.
Yes, it is.
It's a case of...
And they say, really, the car's fine. And I just say, I'll just do something to it. And can I watch?
Just sit in this chair and let me get underneath.
Yeah. And now they don't even get oil on their hands because they wear those surgical gloves.
It's like they're making sandwiches or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, so, Ed Cavalli, any... Shattered dreams.
Well, I'm going to champion the cause of the ECHA, the Brisbane show, which is on at the moment, which I went to a lot as a kid. And originally the shattered dream was I wanted to go every year. My older sister didn't. She kind of looked after me a lot, so we didn't get to go. Now, it's they're saying that the ECA might be in trouble this year because the fuel prices are through the roof, interest rates are on the rise, so people might not want to go to the ECA. So these are some, but these are some of the events that are on at the ECA, and I'm saying don't let the kids of Brisbane get their little dream shattered like mine almost were. Mm-hmm. Take them so they can see the whipped with leather Bill Webb experience. There's all about Australian beef. That's on at 1 o'clock. You can learn about semi-dried tomatoes. That's on at 2. The South East Queensland cheerleading is on at 4. There's a Channel 9 appearance in 2 days' time at 12.
Who is it?
It doesn't say. That's the thing. It could be anyone or anything.
You're not going to be there.
No. And listen to this. There's fruit judging. There's Karen's Cow of the Day. And then at 4 o'clock, you can get sizzling with Australian pork. Let the kids, let them go.
Get sizzling with Aussie pork.
Don't shatter any more dreams. And look at this. The Birdie Beetle, which is always the best show bag, and I could never have it when I was a kid because it was full of chalky, right? Shattered dream. Now, Birdie's got all his mates together. 4 Birdie Beetle bags and a Beetle egg cup, $6.
I met the man who's the head of the Birdie Beetle empire.
Really?
And that's all they do. They don't do any other confections. They got it right with the beetle, and they have stuck with it.
Was he in a big beetle costume?
Yes, he was, in fact, a beetle.
Was he straight out of a Kafka novel.
He had turned into a beetle.
I am just...
Has Kafka ever been said on this show before?
Greg Fleetwood have got it in between the references to Camus and Harold Pinter on Pinter Friday.
But I believe at the ECA this year, really something quite special that everyone wants to get along to see. Don't know whether a lot of your listeners would have heard about this, but... There was something called a banana that a lot of people used to eat in this country.
I remember those.
And they're going to have a banana there. Underarm guard.
Wow.
Because it's very... apparently they keep it at the mint in Canberra now. The banana.
Our producer's raving us, and we for years... Well, not years. 4.5 months.
That'll do.
Have been trying to run this show on time, and I'm afraid that's a case of... The next show's already beginning. We haven't even gone to the callers. We're not even going to play a song.
No.
Let's just see. Is anyone called?
No.
1-333-53.
They want the song.
Let's just wait here. All we've got time for is the Shattered Dreams again. So just play that
again.
You've
got to sing it, Marsland. This is the time where you have to sing it. That's
Ed's dream. Has anyone called up?
Yeah,
whoever calls up, first person to call up, put them to air. Right. That's how we're going to do this show. No fake callers on this show.
Hello, who have we got?
Who's this?
It's Walker.
Hey, Walker. You're on the air. And what's your shattered dream?
I used to play cricket with Michael Clarke, and now he plays for Australia.
Oh, and then I play for... Richard's a little shattered dreams happy. Who do you play for?
I play for a local club on the Central Coast. I went nowhere.
No.
What's your average, Walker?
No, not much.
Come on.
Sweet. I'm a bowler.
Oh, you're a bowler. So you're kind of, like, expensive.
There must be some area in life where you've got it all over Clarkey, though, bud.
I don't dye my hair blonde.
Oh, that's, we have a winner. Well done, Walker. Good. Hello, you are on the air. What's your name?
Bo.
Oh, hey, Bo. What's your shattered dream?
Oh, mate, I was a mad keen rugby player there for a while and in the schoolboy stuff and... I've made New South Wales, all that kind of stuff, and got picked for a development team to go over to South Africa, New Zealand, and Tonga for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And snapped my knee about 2 days before the plane flew out.
Snap is worse than a break.
Yeah.
And what now? What do you do now?
Drive trucks.
Sweet.
Oh, well, that's all right. It's a happy ending.
Yeah, it's good. Well done. Hello.
You reckon?
Yeah. Well, hello, Paula.
Hi there. How going, guys? Love your show.
Thanks very much.
Shattered dream in 3 words, I got married.
What were you thinking?
I know.
How's it working out?
Well, 10 years down the track, it's just same S-I-H-1-T, different day.
Is that right?
Same sit.
Is your husband listening, do you think?
I don't know.
Right, there must be some way we can spark things up for the weekend. You know, Peter Costello, one for the mums, one for the dads, and one for the country. Could you maybe institute a bit of that kind of regime in the boudoir? Would that get things firing?
I don't think so. The boudoir thing isn't happening.
Oh, really? How long's the drought been?
Oh, about 3 years.
Oh! It's
like me, but I don't have a wife. thank you, Paula. Hello, Margaret.
Hello.
I was hoping you were going to offer yourself to go around there and sort things out here. That'd be a project. That'd be a segment.
Now, things like that turn into weird emails on my page every day.
Fair enough.
Hello, what's your shattered dream?
Hello.
Hello, yeah. Margaret. What's your shattered dream?
Oh, my shattered dream is that I wanted to listen to you guys all day and you're going to finish.
Well, you know, come round to Richard Marsland's house, you know, just kick back.
Thanks for calling, Mrs. Cavalier.
It's an ongoing radio show at Richard Marsland's house. Prize giveaways, mystery sounds, it never stops.
We'll be there.
All right, well, stay on the line. We'll give you an address.
Has Richard got his own black card?
Hello, David.
Yes. Hi, how's it going?
Very good, man. Your shattered dream?
I missed out on a trip to Disneyland that I paid for 3 years.
Oh, why? How?
Well, I had to take up a job. I lost my other job and was either take up the job or go on the holiday.
Oh.
And what is the job?
I'm a quarantine inspector.
Oh, but I'm assuming you do it in like a goofy costume.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Keeping the dream alive. Well, thank you to everyone that called
in. Yes, let's get out of here. That was interesting. That was just putting people to air at random.
When he said, hello, what's your name? He said, Walker. I thought, hang on. We're in for some fruity material here, but he kept it clean. Thank you, Walker.
I'm amazed we got through that. Thank you very much.
We've done well.
You know, Lawrence Mooney, do you have anything to plug? I know you're not on Getaway. You're on Postcards.
Postcards, and I'm at the Comedy Store in Sydney from the 22nd to the 26th. Come and see me live.
Oh, yes. Great. Get some live comedy into your people. Thanks to everyone who works on this fine program. Mr. Marsland on the buttons. Nicky Hamilton producing things. Matt Dow pushing buttons till all hours.
Award-winning Matt Dow.
Cave won 2 awards last night. Katie on the phones, and of course all the knob jockeys around the network. I think our key phrase today was apparently the electric blue look. Thanks, Lawrence.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tone. Love you.
And, hey, we'll be back Monday with Lawrence Mooney. No, again? Let's have Peter Rosethorne instead. The other bloke from Bad Ears. Now it's all out and you know.
Reinstated last night, Otto Pfister.